Acts chapter number 9, and we'll be looking at verses 17 through 25, Acts 9, verse 17, and we're going to speak a little while this afternoon on this theme, the evidence of a transformed life, the evidence of a transformed life. Let's pray, and then we'll get into this. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity now to open your word. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit to give us understanding and learn from these verses what we need for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. And we need your Holy Spirit, Lord. We empty ourselves of ourselves, and we need to be filled with your Spirit, whether we are speaking or listening. All of us need the filling of your Spirit even now. And please, Lord, have your will and way in these moments. Thank you for the meeting thus far. Thank you for the singing, and thank you for the offering. And Lord, just thank you for the blessing of gathering together. Thank you for this church, Lord, that we're emphasizing, these two churches that we're emphasizing this week. And Lord, we just thank you for freedom. Thank you that we can have a live stream service. And Lord, we are praying, and we have been, and we will continue to pray your will be done, and that we would have in-person meetings very soon once again. We do want to praise you and thank you for allowing us to enlarge our coast here on this street here in Burnaby where we're located. And we pray, Lord, for what we need to do to use the facility to the best of our ability for your honor and glory. And give us, Lord, direction in that. And, just guide and direct now in this meeting is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Acts chapter 9, verse number 17. We left off last week speaking about this, the grace of God. Remember last Sunday we talked about the grace of God changed more than a name. And eventually Saul is going to become Paul. He hasn't yet, but he's going to become Paul, and he's going to change the course of the church age leading up until even right now. And it all began on the road to Damascus, taking letters that he had received and wanting to persecute more and wanting to toss more people into jail and wanting to inflict more pain on the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was transformed unbelievably on the road to Damascus. And we learned about that last week. Now we come to, we're going to kind of go back into those verses a little bit and kind of go into some more as we move into these verses of Scripture. The Bible says in verse 17, "And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul." Isn't that something? What a difference. What a difference from 9:1, Acts 9:1 to Acts 9:17. Saul was breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples, and now Ananias is calling him, "Hey, Brother Saul, how you doing, Brother Saul?" And of course, Ananias has been commissioned to go and see Saul. And wouldn't you have liked to have been in that room when Ananias was addressed? And look back, if you will, verses 10, 11, and 12. The Bible says that Ananias came. The Lord came to Ananias in a vision. Ananias, verse 10. And the Lord said, "Go into the street which is called Straight Street. Amen. And inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth." I can only imagine right now in this little meeting of the angel and Ananias, this angel wants Ananias to go find Saul of Tarsus. What in the world? What kind of a message? This is a suicide mission. You know, this is it. I'm gonna be dead. And that's seen in a vision, verse 12, a man named Ananias. And Ananias said in verse 13, "I've heard, Lord, about this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he's got the authority from the chief priests and to bind all that call on thy name." And God goes on to talk to him more about what Saul's going to have to go through to be his representative and to be his ambassador, which is what Saul would say later on, that he is an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ. That brings us to verse 17. And Ananias, isn't it something? Ananias trusts and obeys. I'm sure Ananias did not understand it. Remember, "Hey, Peter, launch out into the deep." Well, "Lord, I've been fishing all night. We've caught nothing. What are you talking about?" Ananias, I want you to go see Saul. He's over in Judas's house. He's on Straight Street. He's looking for you. He knows you're coming. But Lord, come on, Lord. You know, this is not someone that I want to be in the same room with. You know, he has the authority to throw me in jail. He has the authority to do me great harm. But what does Ananias do? Ananias went his way, verse 17, and entered into the house. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. And putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way, as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. The only way that a man or woman can be transformed is when the inside is changed. Transformation does not start on the outside and work its way in. Transformation starts on the inside and works its way out. There's only one way this can be accomplished. There's only one way. It must be accomplished by the power of Almighty God. I do not have the power, and you do not have the power to transform someone's life from the inside out. Now, praise the Lord, we have the message of the gospel. We have the message of the Word of God. And the Bible says of itself, it is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. But this can only happen by the power of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as we look around the world that we live in today, there are people that do see a great need for change. There are people that want their life to change. They want some. They don't like something about their life. Maybe it's their physical appearance, or maybe it's their voice, or maybe it's their, I don't know, the way they walk or the way they conduct themselves. They're just, you know. But folks, I want to tell you, praise God that He made you and He made me, and we're fearfully and wonderfully made. And be thankful for what God and how God has made you and formed you and created you. And if you're saved, of course, be thankful for the transformation. But this transformation that is looking for, it cannot take place simply by taking someone and taking them down. Let's say we were to take someone and who's filthy dirty. Remember Pigpen on Charlie Brown? Remember Pigpen on Charlie Brown? He everywhere he went, he had dirt all around him. You know, you remember that cartoon? You've seen that before? And everywhere he went, there was a pile of dirt everywhere around him. And, you know, if we were to take someone like that down and run him through the car wash, if you could do something like that, and on the other end, you know, he would be clean. He would be clean. But if it's somebody who likes dirt, guess what he's going to do? He's going to find his way to dirt sooner or later. He's going to be all dirty again. The transformation that you need and the transformation that I need doesn't happen by getting us a new set of clothes, doesn't happen by sending us through the car wash. No, it happens by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleansing us from the inside and working its way out. How can we make this change? How can this change be made? Well, it must be changed only through the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And in a miraculous way, this change began for Saul, on the Damascus Road. At this very moment in time, Saul, submitted himself to the will of God for his life. I don't understand it all. I don't understand what God was doing before the Damascus Road, because I believe God was working in his life before that time as well. And many of us have a testimony like that, where God was already working in our life. But then there came a moment, there came a Damascus Road experience that you and I would have. I'm talking about that moment when we were born again by the Spirit of God. And it began something inside of us that would eventually work its way from the inside out. And there are evidences of a transformed life. And I'd like to just point out several within our text today, within these verses and of Scripture that we're looking at today. The first one is, there will be an obvious faith. Number one, an evidence of a transformed life is faith in Jesus Christ. Now, the faith, I'm not talking about just the faith to be saved, all right? I'm talking about faith to live the life that God has saved us to live. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In other words, we need faith not just to be saved, but we need faith to live the everyday Christian life. That is an evidence that someone has truly been born again of the Spirit of God. Now, your faith level and my faith level will start off maybe small. I'm talking about living faith. I'm not talking about saving faith. But over time, in the Word of God, over time, discipleship, over time, going to church, over time, talking about God, over time, what's happening? My faith is growing. Then a challenge will come. And it might make my faith go down a little bit because it's a challenge. And, it kind of hits me, blindsides me. My faith goes down a little bit, but I trust that God is moving. God is working. And then I come through it. And the Bible says, and it came to pass. And it came to pass. So many things in my life came and they've passed. And I'm not talking about a kidney stone. I hope I never have to have one of those. Hallelujah. And I'm saying challenges come into my life and come into your life to do something, to begin a good, to do something in us. But what happens when we get to the end of the challenge and God is faithful? By the way, He's always faithful. My faith grows. What I'm saying is that evidence of a believer is someone who has a life of faith, and it's evidenced how it changes their life. Without faith in Jesus Christ, we cannot become a new creature. By the way, without faith in Jesus Christ, without faith in God, we cannot walk the Christian life as God would have us walk it. Turn over to Ephesians chapter number 2 quickly. Ephesians chapter number 2. This is a phenomenal passage of Scripture. And the author of these words are the Holy Spirit of God. But the human penman is none other than Saul, later who would become Paul. So here's Paul writing in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 1. And I would be reading these verses beyond right now if I were you. The Bible says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." That word quickened means made alive. Made alive. "Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation," that's talking about the way we lived our life, "in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, isn't it great, those two words, "who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of the grace of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through" what? Faith, right? "That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Then let's not miss verse 10. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto" what? "Good works." Thank you. "Good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Faith in Jesus Christ, not only for salvation, but faith in Jesus Christ for our everyday life, will lead us to live a life of good works. And guess what? Those good works are an identifying statement that, yes, Jesus Christ quickened me from the inside. He breathed life into my dead soul and made it alive. And now I'm walking with the Lord Jesus day by day to bring forth honor and glory to Him. How does this happen? This happens through the good works and the faith that we have that God is continuing to work in us. We don't need anything else when Christ comes in the person of the Holy Spirit of God. Colossians 2:10, Paul wrote this, "And ye are complete in Him." Complete in Him. "He who begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ." You are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. So this is a positional, faith that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, not only for our salvation, but for our everyday life. Do you believe that God is going to take care of everything that you need? Do you believe that God is bringing you through whatever it may be for His honor and glory, and to better equip you? That's faith. Yes, I don't see it. That's not faith. That's sight. I wish I could see it sometimes, but then I have to quickly come back, and I have to quickly get back into the Scriptures and know that I don't have to see what God is doing. I just have to trust that what God is doing in my life is best for me and best for my family. It's best for the Anchor Baptist Church family. How does that happen? It's called when our faith is growing. I would hope after you're saved for numbers of years that your faith is growing. I'm not saying that you're super Christian and you don't have times of doubt about things. Yes, we all go through that. But God continues to prove himself in my life and in your life. There's got to be a change. There's got to be an evident change in the way you would react to something that comes into your life from when you first got saved and then 5 years later or 10 years later or 15 years later. What has happened? Your faith is growing. That's evidence of a transformed life. And it's not faith in me. It's not faith in my experience. It's not faith in a Bible college diploma. Even though FBI, if you're not signed up, forgot to tell you, you need to sign up for FBI. It's faith in the Lord. It's faith in him. And as it grows, it becomes evident to others. Evidence of a transformed life is faith in Jesus Christ. Number two, let's go back to Acts chapter 9. That was verse 5, by the way. That was verse 5. Paul said, "Who art thou, Lord?" Number two is a desire to talk to God. A desire to talk to God. Look what it says in verse 11. We read it earlier. "Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul." How long has Saul been saved? Not long. I don't know how long specifically, but it doesn't appear that it's been a very long time. 3 days. Okay, there you go. Verse 9. 3 days without sight. Notice what it says. "For one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he" what? See the last word of verse 11? What's it say in your Bible? You know what it says in my Bible? "Prayeth." What's Saul doing? 3 days, he's praying. He's talking to God. You see, Saul has a brand new relationship with God that he's never had before. Saul has a connection now because of Jesus Christ with God Almighty that he never had before the Damascus Road. Do you know the very same thing happened to you the very moment that you got saved? Instantaneously, when you got saved, there was a relationship between you and God that you never had before. There was a connection between you and God. There was a phone line that was opened up, if you will, between you and God. And Jeremiah says it this way, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." You had no access, and I had no access to the throne room of heaven until that very moment that you bowed your head and trusted Christ as Savior. And immediately when your faith was put in the Lord Jesus Christ, immediately there was a access to the Holy of Holies through the blood of Jesus Christ that you never had before that moment. And that access is going to be yours until the day that you take your last breath, and then you're going to be in the presence of God anyway. Think about the access that we have. All this is evidence of a transformed life. It's this, and I need more of it in my life. I'm not where I need to be in this area. But an evidence of a transformed life, it is a desire to talk to God. A desire. You've heard this saying, you've heard me say this, or maybe someone else has said this, "You don't have to, you get to." Has anybody ever told you that? I heard that a lot when I was a kid. I deserved it. "You don't have to, why do we have to do this?" And then I would hear, "Well, you don't have to, Ben, you get to." And you know, I probably said that to my kids a few times through their childhood as well. "You don't have to, you get to." Hey, we ought to have that attitude about anything and everything to do with the relationship of our Heavenly Father, and especially with the relationship that we have through prayer. We don't have to pray. We get to pray. We have the privilege of prayer. We have the privilege of interceding on behalf of others. We have the privilege of going to God. Saul is praying here. Would you go over to another one of Paul's writings in Philippians chapter number 4? And maybe you have this verse memorized, but would you quickly turn over to Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6. Evidences of a transformed life. Number one, faith in Jesus Christ. And it's a faith that grows and grows and grows and grows. And by the way, in 20 years, almost 19 and a half years now of Anchor Baptist Church, I would say as a church, we could even point back to different things along the line, and we could see where we came to a spot and our faith was tested and we moved forward by faith. And maybe we didn't have the faith that we should have had, but we moved forward. God blessed obedience. And guess what happened to our faith? It grew. And then we came to another marker in the ministry of Anchor Baptist Church and another test. Are we going to move forward? Are we going to go back? Are we going to stay still? What are we going to do? And we prayerfully move forward by faith, not knowing exactly what God is going to do, but we believe that He wants us to move forward. I'm just saying this has happened over and over again in the life and ministry of Anchor Baptist Church. So we come to different things that He'll bring us to. And what we need to do is we need to look back and see all the goodness and grace of God. We need to see the blessings of God. And we need to continue to move forward in our walk with God. And our faith just keeps on growing. That's what we need. We need faith that grows, strengthens. And then we see a life that has a desire to talk to God. Paul wrote in Philippians 4:6, you probably found it by now. It says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Notice these two aspects of prayer is the word prayer and the word supplication. The word prayer is a broader word that can mean any and all communication with God. You would pray, I hope, for your food every day. Amen? You're a Christian, you should be praying for your food. And if you haven't been to a restaurant lately, then, you know, you don't have to worry about that one right now. But anytime you get something to eat, you need to pray and thank God for that. Just pray. We prayed today with several people that stopped by the office, and I was glad to do that, and different opportunities for prayer. Praying in general, any general communication with God. Then that word supplication. This has the idea of talking to God, but specifically asking God to do something. Specifically asking God to bring in the paperwork for the Oishi family on time and in His time. And guess what God did? He brought it in. We went to God in supplication for the Oishi family paperwork. And now we praise God for that. God, we're behind by $12,000 in the general fund. And we specifically said, God, can you meet that need, $8,000, whatever it was. Would you meet this need, God? We're asking you, please, God, meet. That's supplication. We went to God for something specific on the behalf of the need of the Anchor Baptist Church. And on and on and on and on and on it goes. And we could name thing after thing after thing. The point is, God wants to know what our requests are, even though He already knows what they are. He wants to hear you, and He wants to hear me come to Him. And this is evidence of someone who has been transformed, that we aren't dependent on our employer to pay our bills. We are completely dependent on Almighty God. And we aren't dependent on our words to give somebody the gospel for them to get saved. We are completely dependent on the power of the Holy Spirit of God to preach the gospel, whatever it may be. That I am, as a husband, I cannot be a husband that honors God without praying and seeking the helping hand of the Lord. And as a father and as a brother in Christ to you, and as a pastor, and all that you have and all that you are, the hats that you wear, we've got to ask God's help. This is specific. This is supplication. God, would you please save my son? And I'm not speaking for myself, but on you who have unsaved son or unsaved daughter, bring their names to the Lord all the time, and bring the names of your grandparents and the names of your children and the names of your siblings and the names of your coworkers. And I got a text message today after the service was over from someone, pray for so-and-so and so-and-so, and some names were given, and we'll be praying for those people to be saved. It's a privilege and it's an honor. And it's an indicator from someone who's been transformed that they have a desire to talk to God. And by the way, let's encourage our children at a very early age. They can talk to God. Luke 11:1, Bible says, "One of His disciples said unto Him, Lord, teach us to pray." I'm reminded of what they did not ask. There's so many things they didn't ask. But what did they ask? Teach us to pray. Number one, evidence, faith in Jesus Christ. Number two, a desire to talk to God. Number three, look at verse 6. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to what? To do. He's called him Lord in verse 5 and verse 6. I believe that the transformation has already happened. And now he says, what wilt thou have me to do? Okay, what's next? Look at verse number 20. This is the same fella that in verse 1 was threatening Christians. Look at verse 20. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which called on his name, this name in Jerusalem? And came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priest. But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. Look at the testimony. Number three, the evidence of someone who has been saved, has a desire to serve God faithfully. A desire. What wilt thou have me to do? Why can't we start our day with that question? God, what do you have for me to do today? What do you want me to do? You say, I've got a 12-hour work day today. All right, but you could still ask God, what would you have me to do today? How would you have me show God? What do you want for me to do? Saul has been saved for just a brief time, and he says, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And a few days go by, and Ananias comes by, lays his hands on him. He's called Brother Saul. The scales fall off of his eyes, and he can see again. He's been praying, and his faith is growing, and now he's standing up, and he's preaching that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And everybody that sees him is like, what happened to this guy? You know what? This is the guy that was having people killed. And now in that same name, he's preaching. That's the evidence of a transformed life. I remember hearing testimonies of people that got saved a little bit later in life. Obviously, Saul, one of them. And how people that got saved later in life would begin to go back and talk to people that they grew up with, talking to them about the Lord Jesus. They weren't using four-letter words anymore. They weren't doing the things that the world does. And now they had Jesus in them. And now they had the Spirit of God in them. And I remember hearing testimonies of different people, missionaries and different people that have come through Anchor Baptist Church, and how that it was evident that something had happened in their life. It wasn't just seen on the, it couldn't have been seen on the inside, but it made its way out because now their whole life was changed and they had a desire to serve God. Someone who maybe they cursed and took his name in vain before they got saved, now they're saying, what wilt thou have me to do? By the way, this is not a message about just giving your life and being a full-time missionary, pastor, whatever. This is about being a full-time Christian. This is an evidence that God has transformed me, that I want to serve him. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:16, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. I must continue to preach the old story that Paul preached. We are called as Christians to commitment, not comfort. I have to be honest with you. Comfort has been something that most of us in North America have enjoyed our entire life. I don't know if we know discomfort when it comes to serving the Lord. I'm sure we've all gone through a little bit of it in certain areas. But God did not call me to comfort. He called me to be committed to him. Saul did not wait to tell others what had happened to him. His life changed, and that could not be argued. The change that took place. By the way, he hasn't begun his missionary journeys yet. Possibly there would be some more teaching and growing and training that would be going on before he would go on his missionary journeys, but it doesn't take a lot of training to preach Christ. If you're saved for 1 month, you can preach Christ. You have a testimony. If you've been saved for 5 years, you can preach Christ. Saul was only saved for a little bit of time. He did not need a degree in theology to stand up and preach the gospel. No, he preached the gospel right after he got saved, and praise God for that. Look at verse 16. for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. By the way, we read about those. Would you turn over quickly to 2 Corinthians chapter number 11? We were not called to comfort, we were called to commitment. Paul writes a little bit about this in 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, where he writes, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool, I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure." That stripes is referring to stripes on his body. "In prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one." 39 times. 39 stripes, 5 times. "Thrice I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and the day have I been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, the wilderness, the sea, among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, hunger and thirst, in fastings and cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, with the care of all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forever, knoweth that I lie not." The point is this, over and over in Saul's life, he is going to face persecution because of his stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, what did he do? He continued to serve God faithfully. I want to encourage you, serve God faithfully. If you haven't been, get up, dust yourself off, confess that to the Lord. Because every Christian should be serving God in some way. Evidences, faith that's growing. It comes down, but it grows a little bit. It comes down, it grows a little bit. Faith evidences a desire to talk to God. Evidences faithfully serving God. Number 4, look at verse 17 of our text. The last part of the verse says, "That thou mightest receive thy sight and be," what's it say, "filled with the Holy Ghost." Number 4, an evidence of someone who's been transformed is someone who is filled with the Holy Spirit. We know, as we've said over and over again, that we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God the very moment that we get saved. Jesus Christ said in John 14, 16, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." Wow. Isn't it great to know that as a child of God, the Holy Spirit abides with us forever? He is our comforter. He is our guide. Now, what does the Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit has a desire to help you and to help me to be usable vessels for the glory of God. God has given me and God has given you things in our life that with the Holy Spirit's filling can be greatly used for the glory of God. We find that even in the Apostle Paul's life, think about his fervor before he got saved. Now, he was using that fervor in the wrong direction. But see, God saved him by grace, and then the Holy Spirit of God took that fervor in the Apostle Paul and spun it around, and he went the right way with that fervor or that gumption. I don't know what word you want to put in there, but it's what God had already put into him that was being used against what God wanted him to do. But when the Holy Spirit of God was empowering him, then he would take what is now what is usable breathe on that and empower that, and it would be used to bring honor and glory to God. In other words, he wrote this down: the Holy Spirit refines what is usable in my life and rejects what isn't. There's things about me that aren't pleasing to the Lord in my flesh. The Holy Spirit takes those things as I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, and he rejects those things. He says, "Nope, that can't be a part of your walk." And he refines the things within me that can be honoring and glorifying to the Lord. Every saved member of the home needs the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. This isn't for the pastor only. This isn't for the assistant pastor only. Every born-again believer needs to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Let me give you 4 reminders quickly, 4 reminders regarding being Spirit-filled. And I hope that we can make these practical things in our life. Being filled with the Holy Spirit. Remember, be not drunk with wine, where is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit, Ephesians 5:18. It's the same thing. We need God's Spirit to control us. This is evidence of someone who has been transformed. Number one, I want to encourage us to make it a daily request. Now, you probably have to ask more than once. Remember, if you're sinning and doing something wrong, you're not filled with the Spirit of God. We're talking about we want to get into a frame of mind where we're allowing the Holy Spirit of God to help us every step of the way. I want to be controlled by the Spirit. I want to think like have the Spirit thinks. I want to talk like the Spirit talks at the very moment. And again, there's things that are going to come into your life and things are going to come into my life that we don't know that are coming. But when we're yielded to the Spirit and we're filled with the Spirit, they can come from the blind side and we're ready even though we don't know it. Why? Because we're letting the Holy Spirit of God control us. But it's something I believe we need to seek His filling every day. Number two, we must develop a sensitivity to sin. Oh, I can't believe I just said that. I shouldn't do that. Oh, I can't believe I let that thought come into my mind. Oh, I can't believe. We're sensitive. I don't like that. I don't want to react like that. I don't want to respond like that. I don't want to talk to my family member like that. I don't want to talk to a stranger like that. We recognize the sensitivity to sin, and the sooner we recognize it, the better. We can confess it and forsake it, and if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just. Remember, if we have sin in our life, we cannot be filled with the Spirit at the same time. We've got to get that sin out and let the Spirit of God take over. So, number two, develop a sensitivity to sin. Number three, read and study God's Word. Read and study God's Word. And number four, avoid grieving and quenching the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God is a fire, the Bible speaks of. Many times our life is like a bucket of water on a fire. Now that's a good thing for a fire, just put it out with a bucket of water, bucket of dirt. The Holy Spirit of God is working in my life. I don't want to quench the Holy Spirit. I want to fan the flame of the Holy Spirit of God. And we do that by being in the Word of God. We do that by talking to God. The evidence is in Paul's life. His faith increased. His desire to talk to God, his desire to serve God. He was filled with the Spirit. But then we see one more. Look at verse 19. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples, which were at Damascus. Number five, I think evidence of a transformed life is a desire to be with the family of God. There's nothing like it, is there? A desire to be with the family of God. John wrote this in 1 John 3:14. We know that we have passed from death. Remember that we talked about that this morning? Death. We have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. This is evidence. That's what John said. We know that we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Salvation, when we get our life transformed, something new happens. Yes, we're transformed, we're quickened, we're made alive, but it also equals new fellowship. New fellowship. We get new friends. New family. New fellowship. New people. And we come together as a body of Christ, brothers and sisters in Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ established the church. The Holy Spirit of God continues to empower the church. Oh, a desire to be with the family of God will come to a life that has been transformed. You've met people and I've met people that say, oh, no, I don't go to church. I just read my Bible. You what? Are you saved? Oh, I'm saved. Yeah, but I don't need church. I just read my Bible. Or I just do this, or I just do that. Folks, I don't see that in the Bible. I don't see that in the life of people in the Bible that got saved. I don't see that it says in the Bible that, you know, we'll have a relationship with God. Yes, you can be saved and not be in the church. We know that. Salvation is not by church membership, baptism, et cetera, et cetera. But they all go hand in hand. Jesus Christ died for the church. Why wouldn't Jesus Christ want you that are saved to be a part of a church that honors God's word? We're not perfect here. We've got to learn so much more. But we have a desire to keep God on his throne. Follow him, yield to him, submit to him. We need the church. That is evidence that a believer is truly that, is that they have a love for the family of God. They're talking and reaching out to one another. They're praying for one another. They're texting one another, emailing, calling, whatever. I don't know. However you can communicate with someone, it is time that we be the church that God saved us to be. I wonder, have you reached out to anyone since March? Anyone? Well, I'm just waiting for the pastor to call me. What kind of attitude is that? That's not a good attitude, by the way. If your phone works, you remember how to, you know, we can push those numbers. Have you reached out to anyone at Anchor? You're a member. Can I talk to the members right now? You're a member of Anchor Baptist Church. Have you reached out to any other member of the church since March? If you haven't, I'm not sure what to say about that. But that doesn't show a lot of love. Well, I wasn't expecting this. Well, neither was I. It's not in my notes. But if you're the church and I'm the church, we should be loving one another. It's the virus doesn't spread through the phone line. There's no reason why we can't communicate with one another. Yes, I miss the in-person services, and yes, I wish there was a better way, but God has still given us ways to communicate with one another. And the John said it, if we know we pass from death into life, we love the brethren. I think we need to do a better job, church. Pastor Turner, you need to do a better job. Folks, we need to do a better job. Why? Because God saved us. We're a community. We're a family. I haven't done my best, okay? I'm not upset. I'm just saying, God just laid that on my heart. Look, we want in-person services as much as anyone else, but there's other ways to communicate still. You know, we're not using snail mail all the time, are we? That would be fine. Write somebody a note. If you got a directory, you can mail somebody a letter. Paul had a desire to be with the family of God. Evidences. Faith, it's growing. Desire to talk to God, desire to serve God, filled with the Holy Spirit, desire to be with the family of God. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I'd ask you to take just a couple of minutes and consider this. Consider, are you filled with the Holy Spirit of God every day? We ought to be. And by the way, it comes and goes because of the choices that I make. It comes and goes because of the sin in my life. We can get that right. If you have something in your life right now that needs to be confessed, just go ahead. Let's confess it. Let's seek God's filling in His Holy Spirit. Have you had much time praying recently? How about supplication? How about your service to the King of Kings? But your desire to let the family of God know that you love them. This isn't about pointing at someone else. This is about looking in the mirror and saying, where have I, maybe I've dropped the ball a bit in some of this and I need to seek the Lord's help. He's patiently waiting to hear from us and continue to use us. No one's arrived yet. I haven't, you haven't. Let's be humble. Let's be gracious. We need if the world's going to know that Christianity is real, they're going to see it in our lives. If we've been transformed, they're going to see it. These things that we talked about are evident to the eye. Okay? They can't see the working. They can see my faith. I go through this and you go through this certain thing and we go through it and it's hard and we grieve and we cry, but we go through it and we still smile. What's that all about? That's faith in God. They see a desire to talk to God because we're talking about prayer. You know, it would probably be a good idea, those of us that work with unsaved people, we could easily ask our unsaved coworkers, do you have anything I could pray with you about? I'm trying to get into the habit of that more as I talk to people that I don't know if they're saved or not. Do you have anything I can pray with you about? Serving God, that's evident when we're serving the Lord. Now, sometimes it's not seen by anyone, and that's okay. God's keeping track of it. If I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, it's going to be evident. We're not doing this to impress people. We're doing it because it's a work that God is doing inside of us, and it just bubbles out. We have a desire to be with the family.